In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So I provocatively titled my sermon for this morning, Our Lord's Most Racist Miracle. In the second lesson that we just heard from St. Matthew's Gospel, we have a kind of shocking encounter a bit between Jesus and a woman of Canaan, it says. In other words, she's a Gentile, not a Jew. She comes crying after Jesus and appealing to him as the heir of David, right? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he's appealing to him on behalf of her daughter, who she says is grievously vexed with a devil. So I say that this reading is shocking because of the pretty callous response from Jesus. At first, Jesus totally ignores her. Matthew says he answered her not a word. The disciples ask Jesus to get rid of the woman because she's annoying. And when Jesus, God incarnate, right, the Son of God, when he finally says something to her, it's in tones that our world would indeed call racist. He says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, nothing for you because you're a Canaanite. Matthew says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Man, this poor woman, her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Jesus ignores her and then calls her names, as it were, and it gets even worse. Jesus doubles down on the racism. He says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So, first of all, I think that this passage is valuable precisely for its shock value, if you read it closely. It's a reminder that God's ways are not our ways, and that we should judge ourselves by God's standards rather than judge God by our standards, which is often what we do. Even though God's standards sometimes seem inexplicable to us, but God's judgments are righteous. This is what righteous denotes, by the way. It means he is able to judge things correctly. That's what the word righteous means. His judgments are accurate. Ours are not. Ours are erring. And God does not owe us any explanation, because he doesn't owe us anything at all. So after being called a dog by the Son of God, this poor distressed woman shows us what a right disposition of heart looks like. She says to Jesus, truth, Lord, yet even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. This woman exemplifies humility and trust towards God. Humility and trust. Another word for trust is faith, right? And Jesus says to her, great is thy faith. And it says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Humility and trust in the face of the mystery of Christ and of his righteousness. God does not owe any of us anything. God doesn't do stuff for us because we deserve it. If he did that, it would be like paying us a salary. God does stuff for us because he's generous, not because we deserve it. His property is always to have mercy, it says in the Prayer of Humble Access. When the disposition of our souls toward God is characterized by humility and by trust, we may expect to experience God's grace and to share in the blessings of his kingdom, like this poor Canaanite woman who is insulted. And in fact, racial and ethnic barriers are not insuperable with God. No barriers are. Now, what about this miracle? And what about miracles in general? Well, the fact of the matter is, God does miracles sometimes, even in our day. I think I've witnessed one or two in my time. But as I have often said, Jesus is not a magician. St. John's gospel consistently calls Jesus' miracles signs, and that means that they are symbolic, right? They signify something. In today's lesson, the second lesson, without any fanfare, without even meeting this woman's daughter, Jesus heals her. He casts out the devil. Last week, I talked about how one of the main points of Lent is learning to see with clarity the malignant power that works in the world and that works in our lives, often in secret, to see Satan, right? That's what it means. Excuse me. That's what the gospel lesson is about. When Jesus goes into the wilderness, fasting and praying, becoming empty in solitude, and he encounters Satan, right? He sees the malignant power at work in the world. He sees it clearly, right? So do we when we empty ourselves and pray. And that's why we encounter these exorcism stories in the Lenten readings. It's great when God does these things, when he works a miracle, when he miraculously delivers you from some corrupting malignant power. It's great when God just miraculously plinks your broken leg and makes it whole. But clarity of vision is a deeper miracle and a more profound manifestation of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Clarity of vision. Because that's what enables you to see and to experience the purposes of God, whether it be in riches or in poverty, in health or in sickness, in adversity, in prosperity, in death, or in resurrection. If Jesus clarifies your vision, then you can experience the blessings of his kingdom in any circumstances whatsoever. And that is the greatest miracle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.